Be in God's Word this evening. So if you would join me, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15, just so you know, we'll be in verse 29 in just a moment. But we're in Proverbs 15. I titled the message this evening, Wisely Pray. As we've been looking at characteristics in God's Word, we've been in Proverbs, especially. But we've also been looking at wisdom. How are we to live wisely? And what are characteristics of a wise individual, a wise follower of God? And so today we're looking at the topic of prayer. I would say as Christians, we would all see the value in prayer. We would never argue against prayer. But we want to see what we can learn about this, all right? Everyone, even those outside the church, think that God hears every prayer, okay? People, if they believe in God, they believe, okay, he hears prayer. Most people, though, some of whom do not even believe in Jesus or practice Christianity, even pray. So there are people who pray even if they're not a Christian. They pray for their children. They pray for their health. They pray for families. Many people can even tell you that God always answers your prayer, and they can say, but the prayer might be yes, it might be no, it might be maybe later or not right now. But then when you hear somebody, a former Southern Baptist Convention president, he had these words to say. He said, God Almighty does not hear the prayer of a Jew. Now, rightly, that might make you go, wait, what? And maybe we're appalled, and there can be all kinds of reasons why that can spark controversy and make people upset. But one of the biggest reasons people were upset was not because of the perceived offense to the Jewish faith, but rather because anyone, especially a pastor, would ever suggest that God doesn't hear someone's prayer. Why would anybody ever say that? Everyone believes that God hears and responds to our prayers. But is it possible that God would give someone what we'd call the silent treatment? Is there a case where God doesn't respond to prayers? Carl, I see a hand there. Amen. You're right on track. And you're not the only one. I saw a head shaking, and you're right. The Bible would say yes to this question. There are prayers that God does not respond to. God, he does give that so-called, if you would, silent treatment to people. Now, that could be alarming. And so it makes you ask then, well, what kind of prayers will God respond to? What does he listen to? Whose does he hear? Or why might he not listen to mine? How can I pray in a way that God will answer me? And so we're going to look here in Proverbs, and we're going to find some answers to this question, because I believe it should affect or change or influence our prayers. And so if you're with me, look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. And God's word says this, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. You notice that he is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. What does this mean? Well, the first thing we see is that the righteous can pray. The righteous can pray. And now this verse is what we would call, it's a Hebrew poetic parallelism, all right? Really, it's where these lines, they work together. They work off of each other. And so there are several kinds of parallelism. Sometimes the second line says something similar to the first. Sometimes it says the opposite thing. In this case, one line can be looked at to fill out the other. For instance, notice what the first line says. The first line says, the Lord is far from the wicked. Well, what can we conclude by reading that? Just that line alone, what can we conclude? What is the opposite then? If the Lord is far from the wicked, who is he near? the righteous, his children, all right? So if he's far from the wicked, even though it doesn't say he's near the righteous, we can assume that, okay? Let's go to the second line then. In verse 29, it says, but he hears the prayer of the righteous, okay? If he's far from the wicked and he hears the prayer of the righteous, what can we then assume or what can we infer about the wicked's prayers? He doesn't hear. Okay, so that is a parallelism. Even though he doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked, that is what is being said here. The text is saying he does not hear their prayer. It doesn't mean that he doesn't audibly hear it, okay? He hears the words because he's an omniscient God. In reality, he's saying he does not respond to the prayers of the wicked. He will not do anything about the prayer. We understand it like this. If you've been married, I'm probably stereotyping here, but I can speak for myself as a husband and father. There are times where somebody is talking to me and I hear the words and I respond, or maybe I don't, I usually don't respond. Let's keep in the right illustration. The words come in, but there's no response. And then Krista or the boys would be like, Dad, I already asked you that. Or Krista would say, I told you. And you know what I say? If I don't respond, I didn't hear you. Now, I may have audibly heard, but there wasn't a response, okay? Now, God is not like me, so let's not take this illustration too far. But sometimes we can tune somebody out, and they're just background noise. God is not with the wicked in a crisis the way he is with the righteous. He is not with them the way he is with us. Think of this in Isaiah 59:2. It says, but your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. He doesn't hear. The problem is many times we assume we assume that we are righteous. We think to ourselves, I'm a good person. I do good things, so God hears me. But the question, so we must ask then, who are the wicked? When he says this, he's far from the wicked. Who are the wicked? Now, any clue, who does the Bible say is wicked? What was that? The unbeliever, for certain. What about us? Are we wicked? At times. You see, we're sinners. All of our... Yes, brother. Uh-huh. That's a great question. I think of, Cornelius. I think he was certainly looking before he was saved. I've heard stories of, like, tribes who can look out and say, hey, there's a God, and they're praying to know the God. So I think, in some sense, yes, brother, that when somebody is generally looking for God, they generally want to know, I think God is looking at their heart and says, this is real. They want to know me. So God does audibly hear, but you also got to remember, these are Proverbs. It's a general saying. It's to teach us to pray wisely. So as we look at that, we need to understand it in this sense, all right? So let's build off of that. I hope to answer that a little better in a moment, all right? But often we assume I'm a good person. I'm not a wicked person. The Bible indicates, though, that we are wicked. Remember what it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. If you hold your place here, look at that one real quick. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Notice what this says, if I can get there. 28 verse 9, it says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. And so if you hear God's word, you have it, and you're rejecting it, you're not listening to it, your prayer is detestable. It's an abomination. If you don't listen to God's word, why would God listen to you? If you don't listen to God, he's not going to listen to you. It's talking about the deafness of the person and the deafness of God in our prayers. So God finds the prayer of sinners detestable. It's not something he enjoys. So therefore, if you don't listen to God's word, as in you don't obey it, God doesn't listen to you. This could be sins of commission that you willingly do, sins of omission, things you should do that you're not doing, things you're supposed to do, you're not doing. If we're taking God's name in vain, we're stealing from others, we can add on to this. It's saying if you are wicked, if you're a sinner, God does not hear you. But we can go on for there. For example, Proverbs says that the wicked are those who refuse to be generous to the poor. He says in Proverbs 21:13, the one who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. And so there's this description of ways that God will not listen to us when we are sinning. In some ways, then, this truth isn't all that shocking. You know, some people think, okay, if I'm just a good person, God will listen to me. If you're a bad person, God will not listen to you. We kind of live that way often. We tend almost towards this works-based righteousness. As long as I'm being good, God will listen. But if I'm not, he's not going to. We think God is favorable to good people. You may even be thinking here, God will never accept me. Or maybe you've thought this in the past. God will never accept me or listen to me because of all the sinful things I've done. Carl? Mm-hmm. You're right. There is none good. There is none who's good. That's not in Romans 18, I don't believe, but that's the point. We're not. We're not good, brother. So thank you. When you start thinking about it, many of us act as if I got to start cleaning up my acts. I got to be good enough before God will listen to my prayer. I gotta get to a certain point. Well, I think that's also wrong. If you're still in Proverbs 15, look back at verse number 18 for a second. Oh, not 18, 8. Sorry, verse number 8. Chapter 15. 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Notice this. As we look at that, the folly of the wicked is to think that if they outwardly obey the law, if they're outwardly good, then God listens. But the issue in this is the sacrificer, not so much the sacrifice. And notice as it's saying, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Somebody who's wicked, they could have gone through all the steps, but when their heart's not right, God doesn't hear. It's talking about a heart issue. You can do a ritual, but do it wrongly. Religious ritual that is not accompanied by heart change is worthless. It's the type of religion that says, you know, I'm good and I'll do what God says, and so he owes me a favor. He owes me because I obeyed. You know what we call that? We call it manipulation. You say, hey, God, you owe me one. I was good today. You better listen to me. You know what? People in the Old Testament, they were sinners just like you and me. They had to sacrifice because Christ hadn't yet died on the cross. The problem was, though, they would often do it and there was no repentance. They would do it just the ritual of it. And then they would think, okay, God owes me. And we see people like that today. Hey, I went to church this week. God, you should hear me. God, I read your word this morning. Are you going to listen to me? We expect these things, but we don't have faith. We don't repent. We try to do religious things to manipulate God. We even sometimes, we can be like a way of comforting ourselves and saying, you know what, I'm not like those other people. I don't do those same kind of things. Do you ever, you know who this sounds like? Okay. Yeah, the Pharisee. You sit there and they're going, hey, I'm better than this guy. I'm glad I'm not like the publican. You know, we often are like that, and we're wrong. Think about this. Have you ever said to yourself, though, I can't even pray to God for forgiveness right now because I don't deserve for Him to listen to me? Yes, thank you for saying that, Mike. I'm right there with you. I've done that. And say, you know what, I've been so bad, I can't even pray. God won't hear me. But once again, we're approaching it as if I was good enough, He would have listened to me. But God's Word tells us you're not good. You can't be good enough. We are sinners. And so it's not about if we're good enough or bad enough. The problem is we have a big problem. God doesn't respond to the prayer of the wicked. And guess what? We are wicked. We have a problem. How can we pray? How can we handle this? Psalm 24, the psalmist asks a key question, and he approaches God with, and he has this answer. He says, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Well, clearly that's not us, is it? So we have a problem. There is actually only one man in history who fits the description of one who had clean hands and a pure heart, and you know him by the name of Jesus Christ. He is the one. He lived the perfect life, the righteous life we never could live. He died the death we should have died. God accepted His sacrifice because He is the righteous one. He's the one who atoned for our sin. He's the one who causes that veil of separation between us and God to be torn. He's the one who died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's now seated at the right hand of God. He is the one, though. I love this in Hebrews 7:25. Do you know what God, what Christ is doing? Look there. Hold. We'll be back in Psalm. I want you to turn there for just a second. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I'll give you a minute to turn there since I'm still turning. 25. God's word, Hebrews 7, 25. It says, consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God. What's the next words? Through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. Now think about that. We just said in Proverbs 15, who are the ones who draw nigh to God? They're the righteous. And how are they drawing nigh to God? It is through Christ. It is through Christ, our intercessor. If you're in Hebrews 7, turn back a few chapters to chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 16. 4, verse 16. It says, let us then with confidence, notice these words again, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we can come near to God. We can find grace and mercy because of Jesus Christ. We are not righteous, but He is righteous. So then the question, now we'll go back to Proverbs. Now our question is, if we understand from a biblical, looking at all of Scripture together, we are wicked, And the only way God hears us is because of Christ's righteousness. What should be our approach today to Scripture? And for that, I want us to go to chapter 28 of Proverbs. 28, and we're going to be reading verse number 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Notice this. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Right, we saw in Hebrews, how do we obtain mercy? By drawing nigh to God. How do we draw nigh to God? Through Jesus Christ. And here it's saying, the one who will receive mercy is the one who confesses his sin, who forsakes his sin. You see, we are wicked. We do not deserve for God to hear us. We're never good enough to deserve him to hear us. The only way is through Jesus. And the only manner then we can come to God in prayer is an utter, humble reliance or dependence on him. We recognize that we can only come through Christ. We have to recognize that we are sinners. Did you know, perhaps you haven't noticed, you ever wonder, why is it when we pray, we finish with, in Jesus' name? Friends, that's scriptural. It's because we have access to God through Christ. It's not just a way we end our prayer. It's not just a tack on the end. It's theological. It's because of Christ that we can go before him. And so since we are sinners, the first step in our prayer life then should be to admit that we are sinners and confess it to God. If you want God to hear you, you start off in the right attitude. God, I am a sinner. I have sinned. The one who conceals his sin will not prosper. Proverbs says not to hide or deny our sin, but to confess it and abandon it. Think of Adam and Eve. They sinned, and what did they try to do? They tried to hide. They hid from God. That was not the right answer. They tried to hide. They tried to cover it up. They tried to act like, hey, nothing's wrong, God. We're here. We're called to do the opposite. We're saying, don't hide it. Confess it. Don't conceal it. Don't try to act like nothing's wrong. Confess it. Forsake it. Don't minimize your sin. Don't act like it's not there. Confession is more than just being sorry. I think we talked about this, if not last week, pretty recently. But it's not just acting like sorry, but it's admitting and agreeing, I deserve your judgment, God. I don't deserve your mercy. Agreeing that you need to abandon it. Some people try to confess sin without forsaking sin. You may feel bad about it, but you don't take the measures to kill it. We have to destroy it. You have to fight against sin. If you are not fighting against sin, if you are not killing sin, it's going to kill you. It'll dominate you if you don't get control of it. If you think you are good enough, you're wrong. The only way to come into God's presence is to admit that you don't even belong there. Righteousness is found in repentance. As Proverbs has indicated, rituals that are not accompanied with the right attitude are detestable to God. We can't manipulate God. We have to depend on his mercy through Jesus Christ. The problem is that even Christians who know the good news, we start to act like pagans. If I just do certain things, God will hear me. We start to believe that lie that I have to clean up my act for God to respond favorably to me. And if I don't clean up, God will zap me. Friends, that is not grace. Grace says, God, I need you to clean me up. God, I can't do this. We need to plead for God's mercy. We need to plead for Christ to work in us. In Christ, God is always for us. He's not against us. And we know from Hebrews 12 that he might discipline us, but guess what? That's not him against us. That's him for your good. that he disciplines those he loves. He doesn't condemn us. And so we must humbly come to him in prayer. I'd gotten ahead of my notes. Here's in my conclusion, the story of those two men praying, a Pharisee and a tax collector. God accepted one man's prayer. He rejected the other man's prayer. But what was shocking to the audience was that they all expected that Jesus would say it was the righteous looking one. It was that Pharisee that God heard. But it wasn't. It was the tax collector. You know why? He was too ashamed to even look up. He was too ashamed to lift his eyes to heaven. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. God didn't just hear that man. He also justified that man. You see, if you want to be heard by God, if you want God to respond to your prayers, then come to him humbly as a sinner and plead for his mercy. God hears the prayer of the righteous. And that means we have to come through Jesus Christ, the one who is interceding for us. I am very early today, but let's pray. Lord, thank you for your wonderful words tonight. Lord, that speak to us on how to pray. How many times, Lord, I've even looked at my own self and thought, I have to be good, I have to be in your word. I have to do so much before you would ever listen to me. But Lord, while it's true that I should live that way, I should be in your word. I should be being faithful and doing all that you command. But Lord, the truth of the matter is I am a sinner. And I can only come through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to understand that at every time we pray, that we are asking for your mercy first, that we need Christ, that we don't deserve anything from you. And maybe, Lord, just maybe, when we understand who we are in light of you, we can come with confidence and boldness, knowing that you hear us. So thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for Christ's righteousness. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's take we have some time, so let's, as we look through our prayer sheets here, let me see, I'm getting